Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, the Basic Gospel is simply this, that Jesus Christ died to take away our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day, he was raised back to life according to Scriptures. Yes. After he was raised back to life, he appeared to some 500 people, including all the apostles, Mary Magdalene, other women. He made himself known. People ate with him. They talked with him. They touched him. They beheld him. They saw the word of life. And then he ascended into heaven. After he ascended, God the Father gave him the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he poured out that gift on mankind the day of Pentecost. And as a result of that, we are born again. We are indwelt by God's Spirit, and we have God's presence with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's why this is good news. So in all of that description of the gospel, it's Jesus from start to finish, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his pouring out of the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's all grace, and we experience that by faith. Well, yesterday we had an interesting question about water baptism. Where does water baptism fit within that gospel story? Well, it doesn't fit. No. It's all about Jesus. It has no place in the salvation story. It does have a place, but not in the salvation story. Paul made that very clear to us in his first letter to the Corinthians. He writes this, "Is Christ divided?" And he had just written that, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought." Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about the essentials of the Christian faith, of what Christ has accomplished for us. That's where we need to find unity. That's where we need to find agreement. But you look out there in the Christian world, you don't see a lot of
anything
unity.
But.
You don't see a lot of agreement. We have all sorts of divisions. And where those divisions come from is, you know, through questions like this, where does water baptism fit into the gospel message? Well, you have one church that says, well, if you don't get fully immersed in water by our pastor in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved. You have others that say, if you don't get baptized, you can't belong to the church. You have others. So there's all sorts of variations on water baptism and its role in the Christian life. Well, it has no role other than the fact that through it, we provide a powerful testimony and a celebration of what Christ has accomplished.
Yes.
So Paul went on to say, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else." So he couldn't even recall all the people that he had baptized. It wasn't of prime importance to him. It wasn't priority. He wasn't out saying, "Hey, I'm going to dunk as many people as I possibly can."
Yes.
What he wanted to do was identify it with as many people as he possibly can with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he goes on to write this, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." This gospel message is Jesus Christ from start to finish. It's His grace reaching down to us, doing something for us that we could not do for ourselves. We enter into that through faith. It is by grace through faith, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is the gospel message. That's what we need to find unity around, in that simple gospel message. And when we do, we're going to see an amazing amount of love starting to flow between us as brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's stick with the basic gospel. When we stick there, I guarantee you good things happen.
Sure does.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. Bob Davis is out today. My name is Bob Christopher. We welcome your call, 844-322-2742, 844-32-BASIC. If you have a question that you would like to ask, maybe something about water baptism, we invite your call today. We would love to discuss that and really get into the Word of God and see what the Bible actually has to say about this subject. Again, the number 844-322-2742. We're going to start today in Corpus Christi and talk with Lee. Hi, Lee.
Hey, it's good to hear from you.
It's good to hear you, too. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, buddy, I'm doing good. I just have a question, but more importantly, I want to encourage you as well as the listeners. Would you like the question first or last?
However you choose to do that.
Okay. The question is, how do I harmonize James 4:4 with justification?
Okay. James 4:4 simply says this: you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He calls to live in us envies intensely, but He gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, this whole passage is in terms of fighting and quarreling that was happening among the people, the brothers. And when James uses the word brothers, he's probably referring more so to Jewish brothers than brothers and sisters in Christ. So he's saying, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, and those wrong motives are so that you can spend what you get on your pleasures. So there's the whole context of James's statements, that he was saying that, hey, when you put your pleasures up there as top priority, and that you live to have those pleasures gratified, and you do everything in your power, you fight, you quarrel, so that you can get those pleasures met, then you have become an adulterous person, basically, in your attitude. You're saying that your pleasures are more important than what God has for you in Jesus Christ. And that's all he's saying. And that's really the root of all worldliness, is the fact that we are putting our pleasures above anything else. So if my pleasure is to be number one in a company, I'm going to run everybody else over just so I can get to that top position. Why? Because that's what I want. And I'll fight and quarrel with everybody that puts an obstacle in my way. And we can think of that in terms of just about every situation of life. So James is really, he is trying to say, here's what faith lived out looks like. And it's not becoming friends with the world. That's not what true faith in Jesus looks like in a practical, everyday situation. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And if my call goes out, I got a bad signal. But let me just get in what I wanted to say also. Thank you for answering that.
You are so welcome.
Yes, sir. I love y'all. I love you. I love Bob. I love Richard. I love y'all. And I still am being ministered to by this ministry. This is one of the few ones, y'all and Farley, who preach the pure gospel that doesn't dilute it with progressive sanctification or behavioral righteousness. And I just want you to know it's a wonderful thing. And I wasn't raised up in church, so I've had to learn this on the fly. And I've come back to the truth, and that is what y'all teach here. And I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, well, thank you, Lee. Thank you. Sure appreciate you as well. And it's a simple truth, but it has profound implications. If we will just stick to by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, things will work out. I mean, that doesn't mean that our circumstances are necessarily going to change, but what's going on inside will. And that's what's really important to each and every one of us. I've talked to men, you know, who are struggling with their businesses and just how to make it in this tough world, and, you know, all the pressures that mount and the anxiety that starts to well up within. And they say, if I could just have peace, if I could just have a sense of peace in this circumstance, I would be okay. I could go through it if I had some peace in my heart. And we can have peace knowing and resting in the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. That's the constant in every variable of life, the love of Jesus Christ. And if we keep our minds on His love, His grace, His mercy, that's when we can experience peace in the midst of our circumstances. So thank you, my friend. Thanks for your great call. We appreciate it. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Grace and peace. Grace and peace, my Christian brothers. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Yeah, thank you.
Very well.
I just heard about when you were talking about water baptism, and I just wanted to make a note that I look at this the same way the Apostle Paul was using in Romans, when he used the argument about Abraham and circumcision, meaning that Abraham was declared by God righteous first because he believed, and circumcision came after that as a sign of his belief. I think the same thing with water baptism. We believe in Christ, and we're born again through our belief in Christ, and the baptism is just a sign of being born again. So how the Apostle Paul is making it, like, it's not a big thing about circumcision, because it's all about circumcision of the heart. The same thing I would say about being baptized. It's not a big thing about being baptized, going down in water, because it's just symbolic of us being born again. So I think that it goes like the Old Testament was a shadow of what was to come. I think in the same situation with those topics that I just mentioned. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're spot on with that, Eugene. Water baptism is just our celebration of what Christ has accomplished for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. It doesn't save us. It doesn't add to our salvation experience. It's simply a testimony and a celebration that we can have as individuals within the context of the body. Of saying this is what Christ has done.
And it could be the ideal picture, a physical picture that someone who's watching this needed right then to realize just exactly what Jesus has done for us.
Right. And the fact that we've been placed into the death of Christ, we've been placed into the burial of Christ, and as well we've been placed into the resurrection so that we could live a new life. So that's what we're communicating through this water baptism sacrament or ceremony. I remember when Mackenzie, my youngest, came to me and said, I want to be baptized. And so we did. I baptized her, and it was a wonderful experience.
Yes.
And she was able to declare to our entire group that, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. And on the basis of that testimony, I placed her in the water and then pulled her up. And it, just to look at the smile on her face and then to see the joy within the group, it was quite a celebration. Did that event save her? Absolutely not. She had been saved many years before that. But it was a wonderful celebration of what Christ had done for her. Now, Jesus made a distinction between two baptisms. In Acts chapter 1, he says, "Do not leave Jerusalem." So he's talking to his apostles. He had appeared to them for over 40 days, and right before he ascends, he says, I want you to stay in Jerusalem, and here's the reason, so that the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water. So John the Baptist, he stood out there at the Jordan River. People went out to him. He dunked them in water. That's what John the Baptist did. Jesus, on the other hand, says this, in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So what's the baptism that really matters as far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned? It is this baptism with the Holy Spirit when we are regenerated, made alive, quickened, as the Bible would say, and then added to the body of Christ. That's the baptism that's important. That's the one that saves. And then water baptism simply reflects that in ceremony and in sacrament and in celebration of what God through His Spirit has already done. So that's how I think we have to view water baptism, to see it correctly and to actually celebrate it correctly. Does that make sense, Eugene?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it just makes me think about when the Apostle Paul went and he met certain men, and these men were already baptized by Apollos. But the Apostle Paul asked them, did you get baptized? And they said, yeah. And they said, we were baptized by Apollos. And the Apostle Paul said, that baptism was for repentance. But then he laid his hand on them, and then they got the Holy Spirit. So we see the distinction in the two baptisms right there, too. So that just adds on to everything you're just saying.
Yes. You're exactly right, Eugene. Well, thanks for weighing in on this important topic today. We appreciate it. Well, this is Basic Gospel here with Richard Pfeiffer. We have a wonderful offer this week. You know, there's a lot of discussion about the resurrection. Did it really happen? I think as believers, you know, that question's already been solved. We truly believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the basis for our faith. Without the resurrection, we're still lost. We're still in our sins. We're without hope. All preaching about Jesus's resurrection is totally futile. It means absolutely nothing if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead. But here's the good news. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he is alive today, and by his Spirit, he is alive in those who have come to know him by faith. But what about the skeptics? How do we provide solid answers to them to at least get them thinking that the story is true? It's not myth. It's not just legend. That it actually has basis in historical fact. Well, Richard, you and I took some time out a couple of weeks ago when we prepared a CD, Proof, The Case for the Resurrection. We want to put that in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Just think about the people in your neighborhood, the people that you work with. The world is, you know, we have all these applications and that we fill out, and there's usually a religious question. Are you Christian? You know, are you Protestant? Are you Catholic? Are you... And the other box, more and more people are checking, yes, that other box than ever before in the history of the United States of America. What are they saying? We're skeptics as far as religion is concerned. We don't know if any of it's true. We're agnostic. Maybe we're atheistic. But religion is out there, and the stories, we're just not interested. Well, that attitude and that belief system is becoming more pervasive in our society today. So we're going to run into those skeptics, and they're going to bring up all kinds of questions, and maybe it's going to rattle our faith. Maybe we're going to start to scratch our heads a little bit, and could they be on to something? Well, this particular resource will give you a solid footing. So we want to put it in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to basicgospel.net. Just go to our website, click on the resurrection little box right on the front page, and follow all the information, and we will get that to you as quickly as we can.
Yeah, one of the things I talked to somebody who wrote in and asked why we do this, we're not trying to take away any doubt or all doubt. We're trying to give you a reasonable answer so that if someone comes to you and questions your belief, you don't have to slink away embarrassed that you don't know, nor do you have to respond in anger and try to beat them up because you don't know. You can have a reasonable conversation. That's what builds faith. That's what plants seeds. That's what Jesus would have us do. Not reactions, but responses.
Yes, indeed. Open lines right now, 844-322-2742. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Gerald, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Gerald.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. I basically had a question or a statement that you could quote the passage earlier about Paul being glad that he did not baptize any in his name. And he remembered a few that he had baptized in his name. To me, that's not a statement that is opposing baptism or the necessity of baptism. But what Paul was trying to do was trying to say that you don't want to be a follower of me. You don't want to be a follower of Apollos. You don't want to be a follower of any of the disciples, but or whoever baptized you or taught you, but rather you need to be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Well, that was his point, for sure, that he wanted us to agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among us.
That's correct. And what you actually said, though, was that he was using that as speaking against the necessity of baptism.
For salvation. For salvation, Gerald.
But that wasn't his point at all.
Well, Gerald, I think that
not to be a follower of an individual.
Well, it's not to be a follower of an individual, but it's also to say that your work. There are so many people, Gerald, and you'll have to agree with this because it's just true. There's a whole theology out there that says unless you're baptized in water, you cannot be saved. Well, that's not the gospel. That's not part of the gospel. So what they are saying is that water baptism is essential to be saved. And I think Paul would say no, and that's what we're saying, that water baptism is not essential for salvation. The thief on the cross.
Can you give me a passage, sir, where he says that water baptism is not a necessity to be saved?
Well, you can't give me one that says it is, so...
How about Acts 2:38?
Well, that's
when the question is asked.
Yeah, well, Gerald, we're out of time. I appreciate your call. Wish we had a little more time to discuss this further. Maybe you can call in on another edition of the program.
Please do.
Thank you so much for your call. It's interesting. Acts 2:38 is always always the verse that gets tossed out there. Repent and be baptized and receive the gift of God's Spirit, but we don't see that we don't see that repeated time and time again. There's other times where Peter just simply said believe. Water baptism, like we said at the beginning, is a wonderful celebration of what Christ did, but it is not essential for baptism. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we come to unity with that, That's when love will flow between brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. We'll look forward to another edition tomorrow. We'll see you then.